This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Oh God, by your Spirit, touch us, handle us, wrestle with us as you will, so that we may be marked forever as your own, through Jesus, who himself bears the marks of the nails. Amen. Good morning. And welcome to our Sunday school kickoff Sunday. And a special welcome to our youth who have come back from rocking the universe up in Orlando. I had a friend, mentor, teacher in college, who I remember one of the things he always said was, never read a book you could have written yourself. And the first time that he said that, I was like, why? But now, and as I get older, it certainly makes a lot of sense to me. And his point back then, as it is now, was, well, if you could have written the book yourself, then you already know everything that is in that book, and you probably already agree with everything that's in that book. So what's it going to do for your transformation to go ahead and read a book you could have written yourself? It makes a lot of sense. If we agree that the purpose of education, the purpose of any education, whether just in the secular world or as we begin Sunday school today with our religious journey, is to transform us and so we can grow. And that is very important. It is with that in mind that I think all priests are this way. I always get a little concerned if I've preached and in the back of the church afterwards, everybody's coming up and says, boy, I loved your sermon today. Because I'm thinking, well, is it just because I gave them comfort because they agree with everything I had to say? And there is that part of the gospel of comfort in the literal sense, comfort, cum forte, with strength, because we need that strength to go on, and Jesus wants us to have that comfort. But there is always the other side of it, and there is always challenge as well. And that is my mentor's idea with reading books, because we need to read things and we need to study things that are going to challenge us so that we can grow as a result. We need both comfort to give us strength and challenge to move us forward. I don't know about you, but in my spiritual journey, there's a lot of times I can tell God, enough with the challenges, God. How about a little comfort at this point? But we need both. Because if we don't have both, we are going to be, when we reach the age of 62 or beyond, we're still going to be at the stage spiritually where we were at the age of 5, and that's not exactly God's idea. There is a conversation that is supposed to be taking place that's going to help us to grow. It is that conversation that we begin. I know the youth have already started their Rite 13 and Journey to Adulthood and Beyond, but we started today with our Sunday school, and shortly thereafter, all of these different spiritual activities for our adults will be kicking in as well. But the point is, it starts a conversation. So, if you've been away from the church for a while with the summer and all that, this starts the conversation again. But the only way for that transformation to continue is if we are willing to be a part of the conversation. And that's very important. There are conversations going on throughout the Bible with God. You can look back to the story of Jacob. And if you remember that story in Genesis where Jacob is wrestling, the scripture tells us, wrestling with God. And as a result of that wrestling, there is some transformation that happens. He gets a dislocated hip, but he is transformed and his name is even changed to Israel, which literally means he who struggles with God. This struggling, this going back and forth, conversing, and remember that word itself, conversing with change. The point of the conversation is change. And one of the points that I think is important for us as a community is that we need to be having good conversations. And we can't have a good conversation if we are not willing to listen. And the only way we are going to be transformed to perhaps see another point of view is to be in conversation, to be listening one to another. There's a conversation that goes on in the gospel today between Jesus and this woman. Some scripture scholars like to say it was just good Jewish banter that was going back and forth between Jesus and this woman. It was a very common thing for the rabbis to get into this bantering back and forth. If you've ever seen Fiddler on the Roof and you know about Tevye and the conversations he has going back, bantering with God, it's that same idea. And so Jesus, through that conversation with that woman, is himself transformed. Sometimes we don't like to think about that, but Jesus grew in his understanding there as well. And with that bantering back, listening to that woman, he is transformed and he heals the woman's daughter. We are called to be transformed. How is that to happen? Well, we get a little clue about that too from the second part of the story today. Now, remember what we heard last week in the first part of chapter 7 here in Mark's gospel. Jesus was having those disagreements with the scribes and the Pharisees because they're all saying, you got to do it this way, you got to eat this kind of food, you can't put that kind of stuff in your mouth, and so forth and so on. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not about what goes into you, it's what is coming out of you in your actions, in accord really what James said in the second reading today. It becomes important for us to understand that backdrop to what then transpires next, because there's this deaf guy. And they bring him to Jesus, beg him to heal him. And it's one of the few times, there aren't many in the Gospels, where Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John translates the language that Jesus would have used, whether it's the Hebrew, the Greek, or the Aramaic. And today he gives us that Aramaic word. And he wouldn't do that unless it was something he did not want us to miss the significance of. And so he says that word, ephata, be opened. It's not just about this man having his tongue loosened and his ears opened. It is a greater thing about him saying, open your minds, open your hearts, accept the challenge that maybe there is a new and a better way that God wants you to think about your reality. This is important for us. Oftentimes, we want to establish the boundaries. And when something is said or we read something, immediately we say, nope, not going to go there. But when it is something that God might wanting us to go forward with, that there is just that opportunity that maybe it's just God challenging me to think about things in a new way, and it's going to enable me to move forward in a very special way. When I was preparing these remarks for today, In my reflection, a story came back today of my own experience way back in the 80s. I had been in the Roman Catholic Church, and the parish where I was, there was a very special family by the name of the O'Learys. Dennis and Susan were very good friends of mine. They had four kids, and when I left in 85, their youngest, Johnny, was 5 years old. And I left and I went about my corporate life and I'm out there and 2 years later my phone rings and it's somebody from the parish in tears saying you got to do what you can to help because little Johnny, who's now seven, had seen some of the older boys in the neighborhood having fun lighting matches and throwing it onto gasoline and enjoying the poof that happens as a result. So he decided to do it in his garage with a 5-gallon gas container, and it blew up, and he ended up with burns over 100% of his body. Now, not to keep you on edge, it's got a happy ending, guys. But the point of the story involves this. There was nothing I could do. I wasn't even in St. Louis except pray. But what ends up happening is somebody calls somebody who calls somebody who calls somebody, and eventually the Hall of Fame sports announcer, baseball announcer, Jack Buck gets involved. And he decides he's going to go to the hospital to visit this little 7-year-old boy, not knowing what he's getting into. He gets to the hospital, and as you can imagine, this horrific scene of this boy who's got things coming out of every part of his body, basically no skin left, and he just leaves, and out in the hall has a breakdown and starts crying. And the nurse comes to him, and he says to the nurse, he's not going to make it, is he? And the nurse says, nope, there is no way. But Jack goes home, trying to figure out what he can do. And he decides to come back the next day. And as John tells the story, he came back and he says, kid, wake up. You're not going to die. And leaves. Now, for those of you who are sports fanatics like me, these are heroes. We listen to Jack Buck on the radio all the time. And when he said something, you would listen. He decides this comfort part is met with a challenge part. He comes back the next week. He sends to John a baseball signed by Ozzie Smith, who is a Hall of Fame baseball player, and he attaches a note to it. And the note says, if you want another ball, write a thank you note. Now, John, at this point, has gotten to a point where they can put him in a wheelchair. They actually have to Velcro him into the wheelchair. And he gets this ball and note. And he's got no fingers left. He just got stubs. And he says, there's no way I can write a thank you note. But with encouragement and help from Mom and Dad, he can scribble out a few notes, a few words, and he sends it out as a thank you. A week later, a second baseball arrives, this time signed by Stan Musial. Another struggling thank you note goes out the door. Next week, a third baseball. The next week, a fourth baseball. This goes on for months. When John now tells the story, he's a motivational speaker. He goes all over the world telling his story. And if you Google John O'Leary, O'Leary, you will see his speeches all over YouTube. Well, when John tells the story, at the end, he shows a photo, 60 baseballs, signed by just about every big major leaguer that was around at that time and before. What is amazing, Jack got in his mind that there was a way he could challenge John to do something he thought he could not do. And as a result of the encouragement that he got and doing that challenge, he was able to move to the next level, to the next level, to the next level. And at the same time, Jack, who's now gone to heaven, was oftentimes quoted in the stories as saying, "It was as much a challenge for me after I walked in there that first day and saw the state that he was in." There is comfort, but there is challenge as well. As we continue on this Christian journey together, whether it's Sunday school, Rite 13, Journey to Adulthood, coming here on Sunday, Bible study, whatever it is, be open to those times when you find something restless within you that you maybe don't agree with. It's a new way of looking at it. It might just be God's way of calling you into conversation so that you might move forward on the journey. Amen.